themes of an adult nature and is intended for a mature audience.
What's it for? Is that what you want to know? You want to know what this is all about? Is that it, Gelfly? You don't know? You've never looked at the heavens. Everything in the heavens is here, moving as the heavens move. This is how to know when. That's what. Suns, moons, stars, yes, the angle of eternity. That's how I know it's coming. How else can I make the prediction? 1,000 years ago, there was a great conjunction. I was there. 3 suns lined up. That's when the crystal cracked. That's when the Skeksis appeared. And the mystics. Another great conjunction coming up. Anything could happen. The whole world might burn up. End of Augur. Better have your shard before that, carefully. Now, ask what the Great Conjunction is. What's the Great Conjunction?
What's the Great Conjunction? You tell me.
The Great Conjunction is the end of the world! Oh, the beginning? End, begin, all the same. Big change.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We're gonna stay here all night if we have to, so let's get started.
Can I go when this starts to suck?
Suicide is a suicide.
Who made this world? Where my wife's man and her husband are not one and the same. Where poets are extremely talented, but some of them vain. Act like they'd be willing to bust one in your brain, especially when they start gunning for name. I swear, the more things change, the further I go insane. I'm shell-shocked. I ain't no good for no woman no more. Perhaps I should just barricade myself in here with my daughters. It don't seem correct to subject some innocent woman to my marriage-induced post-traumatic stress disorder. Sometimes I think this living room couch is going to become my from here on out living quarters. Then eventually, after continuously waking up here, my eyes are just going to well up with water. I mean, a lesser man would just do it. But I would rather be crucified than commit suicide. And any hustler, whether they be dead or alive, would recognize that the look in my eyes is strictly do or die. Besides, people that commit suicide must not believe in God. Otherwise, they would understand that there's a rhyme and reasons why this life gets so hard, and they would put their nose to the grindstone and get used to the taste of their own blood, because life is a monster of a mobster. You got to get your chops up if you wish to associate with that known thug. This world is like the Wizard of Oz, and until you show some heart, you don't never get shown no love. So when you're feeling desperate, thinking you done gave all you got to give, and you ask yourself, who made this world? The answer is simple. You and your actions did. If you don't like the way that the life you live is changing, then isn't it just as obvious that you must live your life to change the way you live? Happiness is mathematic. That's all it is. Happiness is mathematic. That's all it is. Happiness is mathematic. That's all.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
He already had more than 1 million Twitter followers before he had sent a single tweet, which isn't bad for an old man of 85. But the Pope has at last joined the exclusive, but not so secretive society, the Twitterati. Benedict XVI, or hashtag Pontifex as he now likes to be known, was initiated on Wednesday by sending his first tweet on a state-of-the-art iPad. The message, in Italian but distributed in 8 different languages, read, "Dear friends, I am pleased to get in touch with you through Twitter. Thank you for your generous response. I bless all of you from my heart." He then spent the day replying to questions of religion from the faithful across the world. But while he seems to have taken to it well, he'll now have to work out how to deliver Mass in just 140 characters. Hashtag mini-mass.
Following the announcement of First Communion, the Holy Spookerist, the first hardcore pornographic movie to be filmed in Vatican City since 1982's classic adult feature Pope Fisters 4, Onion Reporter spoke to Herschel Savage, director of the film.
Well, obviously it's a huge honor for me and everyone else involved with this film. I mean, this is where they shot Pope Fisters 4. I mean, that movie's a masterpiece. Well, when we wrote up the script for First Communion, we sent it over to the Vatican to get the Pope's approval and see if he had any notes, but he loved it just the way it was.
The highly anticipated pornographic film, which stars Ron Jeremy as the horny see himself, Pope Bent the 69th, will reportedly contain graphic sex scenes filmed in the Sistine Chapel, St. Peter's Square, and the Popemobile, among various other notable sites within the Vatican.
Well, actually, I'm just watching a cut of this amazing scene we shot last night where Pope Bent is a bunch of nuns in his bed. And it was great because the Pope let us use his bedroom. Tomorrow we're shooting the scene where two nuns f*** each other on St. Peter's tomb using strap-on crucifixes. I think people are really going to like this movie.
Our top story at noon, a man is dead after a deputy-involved shooting in Fall City.
Mobile Home Park residents called 911 after a man spent hours yelling this morning about the end of the world.
To report this bit of news, the world is not going to end this month. At least that's what a federal government blog says.
Everywhere, like, such as.
When I initially heard about Hillary Clinton canceling her trip to Morocco because of a stomach virus, I was a little suspicious. But she was supposed to be back at work on Monday, and evidently she wasn't. Now they're saying she became dehydrated and fainted. And I find that a little hard to believe. So she's staying close to home, which makes me suspicious. I was suspicious to begin with. With all the things going on in the world, she's probably staying close to a bunker. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton suffered a concussion when she fainted after becoming dehydrated from a stomach bug, her office said Saturday. A spokesman said Clinton will work from home next week, CNN reported. She canceled a planned trip to Morocco, where she was to recognize Syrian rebels.
How dare you? How dare you?
Chinese researchers say they've come up with a very unusual way to find certain diseases of the brain. They figured out a way to turn human urine into brain cells. The researchers collect kidney cells from urine and then reprogram the cells into immature brain cells. They hope those new cells could be used to treat Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease.
So long, Liberty. Let's forget you didn't show. Not in my time. But in our sons and daughters' time, when you get a feeling, call and you got a room. Meantime, we're cutting our hands a piggyback job in the streets of fear. We're getting all our best taekwondo moves on a barrel of beer. We're trying to get a signal on a regular FM, do the TTI of a CNN. Sucking the wine right out of the vine, spitting it out again.
Unruly scenes in Ukraine's new parliament as brawls erupted between opposition deputies and those of the ruling party of the regions. The chaos unfolded after the opposition tried to physically block a vote on the ruling party's nomination for speaker. Groups of deputies wrestled with one another in the parliament's main rostrum, just as Vladimir Rybak, the region's candidate for speaker, was about to be announced. The opposition, which includes a liberal party led by Vitali Klitschko, accused the coalition of trying to ram through voting despite violations of parliamentary rules. But the boxing champion stayed out of Thursday's brawl, opting instead to watch from the side of the chamber. This latest clash is one of a series of scuffles which have broken out in the country's parliament. On Wednesday, newly elected far-right nationalists arrived with chainsaws to bring down a fence around the building.
Started standing up in this place and saying that I thought the Euro project was flawed and would end very badly. I was met with a wall of derision in this house, and I must admit it was a very lonely old game. But now there's a growing number of people here who recognise the flaws in the Euro project, and indeed out in Europe, roughly half the population of the EU and the Eurozone now regret going into the currency. And I was pleased to see this week that an even bigger voice is now being heard amongst the experts in the financial community. And indeed the Danish bank, Saxo Bank, said that the Eurozone leaders are behaving like drug addicts and alcoholics. And how right Saxo Bank are. Because you keep on taking that same drug that is doing you and the peoples of Europe so much damage. It is time for some recognition. The Mediterranean states don't fit into the Eurozone. And if this summit pushes on towards banking and fiscal union, it won't help anybody. It's going to break up in the end.
Speaker, I was thinking to myself earlier today, what happens when you put in a cage fight a giant in with a midget? Well, the midget will not win the fight, I'm going to tell you that. Why? It just doesn't carry enough weight to do so. If you put 30 midgets in with that giant, then the midgets have a chance.
Well, so long, Liberty. Just let's forget you never showed. Not in my time, but in our sons and daughters' time. You get the feeling, all and you got a room. Meantime, We're cutting our hands on the keypad shop in the streets of fear, forgetting all those best taekwondo moves on a barrel of beer, trying to get a signal through from Ragger FM to the TTI bus, CNN, sucking this wine right out of the vine, and I'd spin it back again.
Now they have weight classes in cage fighting, so you're not going to find a situation where you have two or three against one. You'll just have equal weights. You'll have equally weighted combatants, and then they will go at each other, and the best man will win, or woman. But we don't have that kind of setup when it comes to relations between employers and employees. There are no weight classes. And so what generally happens is whoever's paying the workers is usually the giant. And so giants are in business to make a profit. That's how they became big and muscular. But they need those midgets. They need the midgets.
Groovin', let's cut out of the scene. Go groovin'. Groovin', let's cut out of the scene. Go groovin'.
Last night, I came in to do a special order on the situation happening in Michigan, where a surprise attack, a sneak attack by the right wingers resulted in the passage of legislation, which I won't refer to as right to work legislation, is more appropriately named crush the union legislation. I came up last night to the floor to speak on that issue, and as I am prone to do, I use a lot of analogies, and so last night I used an analogy that some find offensive, and I certainly was not meaning to be offensive or use a derogatory term. You know, everybody knows what the N-word is. The N-word, Mr. Speaker, is used to describe a group of people, and the N-word used to be fashionable, or it used to be socially acceptable to use the N-word. But now we don't say the N-word, we refer to that word as the N-word. And I had never heard of the M-word, Representative Shankowski, the M-word. It's a word also that describes a group of people. And it at one time has been commonly used as a descriptive term. It was at one time socially acceptable. But to my discovery, just within the last 12 hours or so, I have found that the use of the the use of the M word is no longer socially acceptable. Now, the M word refers to a group of people, the people,
And but when we say people, I'm not talking about the Leona Hemsley people. I'm not talking about the 47%. I'm not talking about the takers instead of the makers, as some would describe them. I'm not talking about the middle class, working people, poor people, working poor people. That's not what is meant by the people term. It really refers to a medical condition. Autism is the name of that medical condition. And sometimes I guess one can even say abnormally people.
I don't care who you are. That's funny right there now. But I should, Lord, I apologize.
You know what I noticed? Nobody panics when things go according to plan. Even if the plan is horrifying. If tomorrow I tell the press that like a gangbanger will get shot, or a truckload of soldiers will be blowing up, nobody panics. Because it's all part of the plan. Introduce a little anarchy. Upset the established order, and everything becomes chaos. Oh, and you know the thing about chaos? It's fair. You live. You die.
Breaking news in Oregon, there are reports somebody fired dozens of shots in the food court at the Clackamas Town Center in Portland near Beaverton this afternoon. It's not clear if anyone was hit, who the shooter might be. We're still working to gather more information for you, but this is turning into a big story. Portland Police Department asking people to stay away from the Clackamas Town Center. This is a very big mall area. If you've ever been, there are lots of stores in there, a movie theater nearby, as well as transit, and the food court, that's where the shooting occurred. Witnesses, according to KATU, say they heard dozens of shots, as many as 60 shots coming from the food court. Witnesses say there were people running away from the scene, crying, tears in their eyes. Again, Portland PD saying there has been a shooting at the Clackamas Town Center and that they are investigating, and they're urging people to stay away from the scene. We do have confirmation that multiple people have been shot. Again, this breaking news story coming in from Portland, Oregon. There's been a multiple shooting at Clackamas Town Center in the food court. Confirmation that multiple people, many holiday shoppers right now out and about at this place, multiple people have been shot. No word on the extent of injuries, who the gun person might be, if this person is even in custody. This is an active situation. This just coming in to the newsroom.
Robert's got a quick hand. He'll look around the room. He won't tell you his plan. He's got a rolled cigarette hanging out his mouth. He's a cowboy kid. Yeah, found a six-shooter gun in his dad's closet with the box of fun things. I don't even know what, but he's coming for you. Yeah, he's coming for you. Saying all the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run, outrun my gun. All the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run
our programming. We've been telling you this morning there has been a shooting at a school in Newtown. This is the Sandy Hook Elementary School. Let's take a look here at the map. This school is at 12 Dickinson Drive. To give you an idea where we're talking about, this is off of I-84 between exits 10 and 11. Right between those two exits is where this school is located, north of I-84 in Newtown. Here's what we know at this point. The call came in at 9:41 this morning of a shooting at the Sandy Hook Elementary School. State and local police are on the scene. We do know state police resources from all over the state have raced to that location in Newtown. Now, in Newtown, our reporters are being told that parents are being asked to stay by the phone, but not to go to the school. That is one of the requests coming from the folks in Newtown. Parents in Newtown, stay by the phone. Do not go to the school.
Daddy works a long day, and he's coming home late. Yeah, he's coming home late, and he's bringing me a surprise. 'Cause dinner's in the kitchen, and it's packed in nice. I waited for a long time. Yeah, the slight of my hand is now a quick pull trigger. I reason with my cigarette and say, your hair's on fire, must have lost your wits. Yeah, all the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run, outrun my gun. All the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run, faster than my bullet. All the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run, outrun my gun. All the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run, faster than my bullet, yeah.
Line from Bridgeport, Connecticut, we have Mike Bellamy, news director for WICC 600. Mike, two shooters, is this the latest?
Yeah, the latest information is that two shooters, we have unconfirmed reports that one of the shooters is dead, and there is another individual who's being pulled out of a wooded area in handcuffs and being questioned by police. As you guys have been reporting, it happened in the 9 o'clock hour local time this morning, but the latest information is unconfirmed reports, two shooters, one of the shooters dead, and another shooter, possible shooter, in handcuffs being pulled out of a local wooded area.
These children, unoffending, innocent, and beautiful, were the victims of one of the most vicious and tragic crimes ever perpetrated against humanity. Yet they died nobly. They are the martyred herons of a holy crusade for freedom and human dignity. And so this afternoon, in a real sense, they have something to say to each of us in their death. They say to each of us, black and white alike, that we must substitute courage for caution. They say to us that we must be concerned not merely about who murdered them, but about the system, the way of life, the philosophy which produced the murderers. And so I stand here to say this afternoon to all assembled here that in spite of the darkness of this hour, we must not despair. We must not become bitter. Nor must we harbor the desire to retaliate with violence. Somehow we must believe that the most misguided among them can learn to respect the dignity and the worth of all human personality. I say to you in conclusion, life is hard. At times as hard as crucible steel. It has its bleak and difficult moments. like the ever-flowing waters of the river. Life has its moments of drought and its moments of flood, like the ever-changing cycle of the seasons. Life has the soothing warmth of its summers and the piercing chill of its winters. And if one will hold on, he will discover that God walks with him and that God is able to lift you from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope and transform dark and desolate valleys into sunlit paths of inner peace.
Volts of electricity burst into flame.
Two boys aged 7 and 11 are accused of an attempted armed robbery in the US. Amy Garrett was in a church car park in Portland waiting to pick up her parents when the boys approached her.
He was like showing me his gun and I asked him if it was real and he was like, you don't ever ask somebody if it's real, that's how you get yourself shot. And then he said it was fully loaded and cocked and ready to go. He told me that he was going to blow my brains out if I didn't give him something.
The 22-year-old drove off and says as she drove away, she saw the 11-year-old pull a gun from his pocket.
I didn't think it was real. They're just two very little kids, 7 and 11.
The boys were later stopped by police who discovered a loaded 22 caliber handgun.
My heart was like beating a million miles an hour. I'm surprised it didn't completely beat out of my chest. I was very, very scared.
Because they're so young, officers had to return them to their families rather than making an arrest. An investigation's underway into how the boys got hold of the weapon.
Woe is us! We're in a lot of trouble!
Austin, Texas. High up in a university tower, a sniper shoots at unsuspecting victims in the plaza below as scores of students flee.
Police have apprehended a lone gunman in an attempt on the life of President Ronald Reagan outside the Hilton Hotel in Washington, D.C.
6-hour standoff with police. William Cruz is accused of a violent murder rampage that killed 6 people, including 2 policemen.
Jeffrey Dahmer stands convicted of strangling and dismembering 17 young men and boys throughout the greater Milwaukee area.
Charged with the raping and killing of a 7-year-old girl in a woman's bathroom.
Life imprisonment for drowning her 5 children. Family bath sentences
for the slayings of his mother.
The bludgeoning death of her 2 youngsters.
In custody for the stabbing death of his daughter. Less than 3 months before the murder.
Police department.
Yes. I just killed my 2 daughters.
Sir?
Yeah.
Tell me what happened. Okay, what's going on right now?
I just freaked out and killed them.
Are you on medication?
Yes.
What kind of meds are you on, sir?
I'm on antidepressants.
I have to say, whenever I read in the newspaper of some violent act, one of the first questions I ask is, was the person on medications?
Virginia Tech or the school shootings or the, my first thought is always, I wonder what drug he was taking.
There are side effects to the use of drugs and also very damaging and dangerous long-term effects, which psychiatrists often don't consider as being important.
They induce violence. They induce self-violence, they induce distortions of reality leading to hallucinations, they induce a whole variety of psychiatric problems which are then typically treated with more psychiatric drugs.
We're not talking about a rash, we're not talking about dry mouth, we're not talking about nausea. We're talking about sudden, compulsive, overwhelming suicidal or homicidal urges. We're talking about violent deaths. We're talking about crippling injuries.
Psychiatric drugs are rampant in society today. It's become really an epidemic.
First drug that they put him on, I did not like it. He had very bad reaction. He became a completely different person. He was very as you would say, aggressive.
He became obsessive compulsive, paranoid about bad guys, afraid of dying. He started sniffing his hand 20 to 30 times a minute, out of control rages.
He couldn't think straight, he couldn't act straight. It made him irritable, it made him violent.
At one point he threatened to kill himself and to kill me, and he was only 6 or 7 years old.
From the moment that I started taking these drugs and to the moment that I stopped, all that happened in my life was things got worse. Depression got worse, the anger got worse, the outbursts got worse.
I had no idea what was happening to me. I would start quivering and shaking. I would drop onto the ground. I could not control anything.
Within 4 hours of taking 25 milligrams of Zoloft, I was standing on a balcony at a church. And again, there was the thinking, I'm going to jump.
The psychiatrists have carved out a great niche for themselves in the prescribing of drugs. But if you look at the history of treating people for mental and psychological disorders, it's a history fraught with things that don't work.
They're not helping people with drugs. And they're not looking out for harming people. They're ignoring the harm that's coming from all of these drugs.
We see suicidal thoughts, we see suicide, we see profound depression, mood swings.
This is 911, who is this? Where is your sister? What is she trying to do, take pills?
What? No, my dad's home now.
Come on, help me!
You don't want to think that a drug could affect someone's behavior in that way, but it does. It happens. It happens all the time.
Suicide is just one in a long list of possible side effects of the medications that the doctors will seldom link to the medication, but instead blame it on the patient.
What's the cause of death going to be written? Not going to be written that the drug had anything to do with the death. It's going to be recorded as a suicide.
There's not a single psychiatric drug out there that's going to fix a problem. At best, it's going to cover up symptoms. At worst, it might kill you.
She went to get the laundry, his laundry, which hangs from a hook in Matt's closet. And instead of finding the laundry, she found her son.
By the time he died, he was really mutilating himself. He carved hate into his thigh.
He had gone into his closet that night, tied a rope around his closet rod, put it around his neck, shut the light off, knelt down.
I ran back to him and I touched his back and I says, "No, honey, he's cold, he's gone."
I'm as certain as I can be that Celexa killed my daughter.
I will always blame my son's death on psychiatric drugs.
Reports of significant violent acts, not just suicide, but significant violent acts of murder suicides in patients who were being prescribed antidepressants for relatively minor conditions, and they then just snapped.
The drugs that are used are known worldwide to increase suicidality and increase homicidal violence.
Might there be a link between the school shootings or the extremely violent shootings that have occurred in the U.S. and the prescription of certain psychotropic medications? I think the answer to that is a clear yes.
The school shootings that have happened here over the last several years in this country, most of the students who engaged in this violent behavior were on psychotropic medications that had been prescribed to them by psychiatrists.
911, where's your emergency?
There's been students shot at Westside High School, middle school.
Been what?
Students shot at Westside Middle School.
Okay. Do you know who done the shooting?
No, we do not.
Okay.
Guns are everywhere.
I was lucky I wasn't shot, because I was the only one standing up. My friend Nate got shot in the shoulder.
Oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. There's nothing like that happens here.
This is pretty boring.
No. You should be safe at school. It should be a safe place.
This is horrible images that you never want to see again in your mind.
And I was praying to God for no one to come help me.
It wasn't just my boyfriend, it was my best friend.
A nightmare.
I didn't think he had anything.
Whenever a school shooter is taking a drug, it is, you know, the press don't get the information. If they ask about it, they're told this is private information. So the public is kept in the dark about the drugging of these kids that leads to this violence.
You have to ask yourself, how much help can these drugs be to somebody if they start experiencing these side effects of extreme anxiety, a desire to kill themselves, desire to kill others? What kind of help is that for the person?
Did you see these kinds of incidences in the 1960s or pre-1960? Was anybody shooting up their classrooms? There were guns. We didn't have as many gun control laws then as we do now. No, we didn't. So what's different? The psychotropic drugs, that's what's different.
These psychiatrists are, in a sense, crippling people at the same time they claim to be treating them.
They are mainly just drug pushers. You go on this drug, if it doesn't help, you can try this one. And if that doesn't work, you can try this one.
This is one incredible money-generating machine when this is your approach to treating people.
It's about making money. It's not about getting people better or helping people in a service industry or helping people feel well.
More than anything else, even more horrific than all the lives lost as a result of this callous profit-seeking, is the notion that our country is being destroyed.
What we see in the homicides and the suicides is only the tip of the iceberg compared to exactly what's happening to people out there.
How many deaths have to occur before the public wakes up?
Wake up. Wake up before it's too late.
Given that the president's not running for re-election, and he previously...
Barring a change in the Constitution.
Right, and he previously made a campaign promise to oppose... and previously made a campaign promise to work to renew the assault weapons ban. Why won't you stand up here today and say that that remains a commitment of his?
It does remain a commitment of his. What I said is that today is not the day to, I believe... as a father, a day to engage in the usual Washington policy debates. I think that day, you know, will come, but today's not that day.
And then...
Here's the kind of story that makes you say, yes. A trio of would-be burglars picked the wrong Albuquerque house to break into. Police say when the three teens pried open the door, a brave little girl was waiting for them, locked and loaded.
I was holding it like this and like that.
11-year-old Alyssa Gutierrez took matters into her own hands yesterday when three burglars broke into her home.
I was planning if they came right next to me, I would shoot them.
But Gutierrez never got the chance. Police say she spooked Miguel Marquez, Eduardo Zupiate, and Jesus Quintana.
My heart kept on pounding and pounding.
Gutierrez says minutes after her cousin Zachary left her home alone to run a quick errand, she heard the back door rattle.
I thought it was Zachary playing a joke on me, so I just turned the TV louder and ignored it.
The burglars pried open the door using a crowbar, but they had no idea that someone was home.
the slid.
Gutierrez says hiding didn't do any good. The masked intruders who stood just a few feet away saw her.
They had a rifle, so I was thinking, what should I do? What if they shoot me?
That's when she made a beeline for her mother's room.
And I ran back in my mom's room and grabbed her little pink rifle. And there was two bullets in there.
With a loaded rifle, Gutierrez says she checked the rooms in her home, ready to defend herself.
Of the 12-year-old girl home alone when a robber broke into her house. She grabbed her mom's gun, called 911, and then the whole thing played out on tape. And now this girl is telling her story, and ABC's Mark Greenblatt is covering it all this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you. This is a story that begins with a 12-year-old girl who's at home alone hearing loud sounds of banging at the door. That's when the glass shattered and her defense instincts kicked in.
Home alone, 12-year-old Kendra St. Clair heard the sounds of an intruder approaching and then breaking into her house.
I was scared, not knowing what I was going to do next.
Petrified, her first call was to her mom.
I said, Kendra, get the gun and go get in my closet now and call 911.
Terrified, the sixth grader followed her mom's orders to the T.
I'm going to show you what my mom said.
Okay, I have a deputy en route. I want you to stay on the phone with me, okay?
Okay, please. Don't go in the house.
Clutching a .40 caliber Glock like this, Kendra's fear only intensified as the intruder headed right for the closet.
Okay, all right, I understand. Do you still have your mom's gun there?
Yes, I do. I have it in my hands.
Suddenly, sheer terror as the doorknob to the closet begins to turn. The 12-year-old didn't hesitate and pulled the trigger of a gun for the first time in her life.
When I had the gun, I didn't think I was actually going to have to shoot somebody.
And apparently, she's a pretty good shot. Police say she hit 32-year-old Stacy Jones in the shoulder on her first try.
Hey, gonna get you too, another one bites the dust.
Developing tonight, a 14-year-old's quick thinking might just have saved his family. Police say the teen shot an intruder who was breaking down the door of his home. CBS 5's Jadeon Thompson joins us live from Levine, where she's been working the story since it broke earlier tonight. Jadeon?
Well, Nicole, this was just a crazy day for this family. Police have been out here now for hours. We're near Baseline and 51st Avenue. Parts of the neighborhood are still blocked off at this hour. I'm going to step out of the shot so that you can see the home where all of this happened earlier today. And just for a quick update, there are at least, police are saying, two suspects in this case. One of them, the one the teen shot, is in critical condition. The other got away and is still on the loose. Today will probably go down in the books as the scariest moment in One Valley teenager's life.
No, he's a good kid. He's got good grades in school.
Police say the 14-year-old and his three younger siblings were home when they got a knock at the door at about 4:30. They didn't recognize the woman and just ignored it. But moments later, police say a man started busting through the front door. So the teen grabbed a gun that was in the home and listened to what went down next.
A male enters, he has a gun in his hand, and he points it toward this young man.
At that point, the young man fired his handgun at the suspect, and the suspect was hit. Hey, now I got to do another one bites the dust. Hey! Oh, take it!
Year-old at home with his 12-year-old sister when burglars try to break in.
That's when investigators say the boy grabbed his dad's assault rifle and started shooting, and he hit one of the men repeatedly. This all unfolded this afternoon in the 2600 block of Royal Place Court. 11 News reporter Sherman Min Chow talked with neighbors and investigators.
Anxious family and friends crossed the yellow tape into a surreal crime scene. A 15-year-old boy and his 12-year-old sister had been home alone in the Mount Royal Village subdivision. And at about 2:30, a pair of home invaders tried the front and back doors, then broke a back window.
A young boy was protecting his sister. You know, he was in fear for his life and for his sister's life.
The brother grabbed his father's assault rifle and knew what to do with it. His dad is a Precinct 1 deputy constable.
We don't try to hide things from our children in law enforcement.
The children were not hurt. The home invaders fled, leaving a trail of blood.
That 72-year-old Pensacola man says the three teens who tried to invade his home this weekend should consider themselves lucky.
Jack Crawford says when he fired his gun, he made sure he did not fire a fatal shot. Channel 3's Bill Pearson tells why Crawford decided to only shoot two of the three teenagers.
Jack Crawford says as soon as he opened up the front door of his home Saturday night, he was facing three teens, one of which hit him with a baseball bat right across his head. Moments later, Jack pulled out a gun and began firing. Jack Crawford shares a home with his sister. And on Saturday night, Jack was surprised to hear someone knocking on the front door of their house.
There was three guys out there, and one hit me with a baseball bat right off. Opened the door, wham!
Even though he was stunned by a blow to his head, Jack pulled out a gun.
Shot him. Shot the other one, then the other one was running. I didn't want to shoot him in the back, so I let him go. But
Jack says he knew exactly what he was doing when he fired those shots.
American hip-hop artist Ice-T was here in the studio. The self-styled godfather of gangster rap had come to talk about a new documentary he's made about the art of rapping, which we'll be running on tomorrow night's programme. But while he was here, I briefly took the opportunity to ask him about his own attitude towards guns, and I asked him why he's such a defender of the right to bear arms.
Well, I'd give up my gun when everybody else does.
And is that
doesn't that make sense?
Well,
doesn't that make sense? I mean, if you were to, if there were guns here, would you be want to be the only person without one?
So do you carry guns routinely at home? I mean, you have a gun at home?
Yeah, it's legal in the United States. It's part of our Constitution. You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny. not to hunt, but hunt. It's to protect yourself from the police.
And do you see any link between that and these sorts of incidents?
No. Nah, not really. You know what I'm saying? If somebody wants to kill people, you know, they don't need a gun to do it.
Makes it easier, though, doesn't it?
Not really. You can use, you can strap explosives on your body. They do that all the time.
So when there's the inevitable backlash of the anti-gun lobby as a result of this incident, as it always is.
Well, that's not going to change anything in the United States. Nah. The United States is based on guns, you know? Like KRS says, you'll never have justice on stolen land.
Recent discovery of water on Mercury has led to speculation among scientists that the planet could potentially sustain an intergalactic space prison housing the universe's worst criminals. Scientists believe that organic compounds found on the planet's surface could be useful for creating an off-world Space Australia, where strength is the only law. However, they caution it is too early to say whether or not fights among the space jail's prisoners would be broadcast here on Earth for the entertainment of wealthy gamblers. But NASA's lead researchers do say that Mercury's ability to support human life raises important questions about who the prison guards would be.
Perhaps the guards themselves would be space mercenaries, or maybe we'd just use robots.
The robots would have guns for hands.
Well, obviously.
Critics inside NASA caution against funneling too many resources into the Mercury project when it would be so much cooler to build a prison on the moon ruled by clones of the prisoners themselves. Researchers encourage the public to read their findings, which have been released in the form of a graphic novel titled The Mercury Cipher.
But don't worry, we're all going to be living on nothing soon enough. And, you know, with a little bit of help from our friends, maybe, just maybe. I don't know. I have no idea.
What? I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a comer. This is awesome.
Nah, walk into the club like, what up? I got a big. I'm just pumped, I bought some bitch from a thrift shop. Ice on the fringe is so damn frosty, the people like,
damn, that's a cold ass honky.
Rolling in hella deep, headed to the mezzanine. Dressed in all pink, set my gator shoes. Those are green drapes and a leopard mink. Girl standing next to me, probably should've washed this. Smells like R. Kelly sheets. But it was 99 cents. I get copping it, washing it. About to go and get some compliments. Passing up on those moccasins. Someone else has been walking in bummy and grungy fucking mint. I am stunting and flossing and saving my money. And I'm hella happy that's a bargain, bitch. I'ma take your grandpa style. I'ma take your grandpa style. No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I have his hand me down? Velour jumpsuit and some house slippers. Dookie brown leather jacket that I found. Dig it. They had a broken keyboard. I bought a broken keyboard. I bought a ski blanket. Then I bought a kneeboard. Hello, hello, my ace man, my mellow. John Wayne ain't got nothing on my fringe game, hell no. I could take some pro wings, make them cool, sell those. The sneakerheads would be like,
ah, he got the Velcro. Whoa. I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is awesome.
Ow.
I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. Awesome.
What she know about rocking the wolf on your noggin? What she knowin' about wearing a fur fox skin? Whoa. I'm digging, I'm searching right through that luggage. One man's trash, that's another man's come up. Whoa. Thank your granddad for donating that plaid button up shirt. Cause right now I'm up in her skirt. I'm at the Goodwill, you can find me in the I'm not stuck on searching in the section. Your grandma, your auntie, your mama, your mammy. I'll take those flannel zebra jammies secondhand and rock that motherfucker. The built-in onesie with the socks on that motherfucker. I hit the party and they stop in that motherfucker. They be like, oh, that Gucci, that's hella tight. I'm like, yo, that's $50 for a t-shirt. Limited edition, let's do some simple edition. $50 for a t-shirt, that's just some ignorant bitch. I call that getting swindled and pimped. I call that getting tricked by a business. That shirt's hella dope. And having the same one as six other people in this club is a hella don't eat gang. Come take a look through my telescope, trying to get girls from a brand, man, you hella won't.
then you hella won't.
Goodwill. Popping tags. Yes,
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is me, awesome. I'll wear your granddad's clothes. I look incredible. I'm in this big ass coat from that thrift shop down the road. I'll wear your granddad's clothes.
Damn right.
I look incredible.
Now come on, man.
I'm in this big ass coat
from
that thrift shop down the road. I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is me, awesome.
Is that your grandma's coat?
Now, go find the others.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.